And welcome in Trailblazers courtside here on this Tuesday night in Portland. Mike Baird, Mike Rice, Brian Wheeler will be along shortly.
Is he late again?
To join us? No. He's just, makes fans wait. You leave them wanting more is what they always say. Coming up on our program tonight until 7 o'clock, it's a one-hour program, Joel Prisbilla will join us on Trailblazers courtside, and we'll talk about last night. We'll talk about what's to come, why he came back to Portland. We really haven't had him on for a since he came back to Portland. So he'll join us at 6:15. Chris Monter, an NBA draft expert from Monter Draft News, always gives us good stuff. And, yes, it's getting to be that time of the year. We'll start talking about the draft, and the Blazers might have two very attractive picks.
Yeah, and we'll be talking about that.
What are you laughing at?
How we've changed what we talk about.
We're not shifting totally to the draft. But last night, that was a body blow.
Ooh.
How did you feel?
I felt, I don't know.
Meanwhile,
I shouldn't feel let down.
Did you feel like that guy right there? You felt like that bull right there that got tackled? Yeah. Because coming up on Wednesday at 10 after the Blazers game is an all-new episode of Stomping Ground. Stevie Ray, Mike Rice, she does something we've never seen her do before. She pulls up lame in the middle of a race, and that dude's pulling on a horse's leg.
Oh.
Sammy Joe is not performing at her best. She takes it out on anyone around her, including animals, I assume. Later on, 11-time national barrel racing champ. I think that's Charmaine James. Oh, I was supposed to be reading that. Supposed to be doing it like fun. She is in town, helps Stevie get back on track. It's tough, sexy, and competitive. Kind of like Mike Rice.
I'm going to watch that.
Saddle up for an all-new episode Wednesday at 10 right here on Comcast Sportsnet. What were you saying before I so rudely cut you off?
When you said sexy, I lost all my thought.
And competitive.
Yes.
Trailblazers and New Jersey Nets tomorrow night. Can they get back on track? And can we still be talking about the playoffs? Is there still time, or was last night that crippling?
If it's a 1 to 10...
Two? Okay.
Two.
So you're saying there's a chance?
There's a chance.
That's all we need to hear.
Yeah.
Coming up, Joel Prisbilla will be our first guest on Trailblazers Courtside. That is at 6:15, and we'll take some of your tweets as well. Hashtag TB Courtside is how you get those to us. So Trailblazers Courtside, stay with us.
Stumbles his way down the lane, bumped it, Aldridge swatted it out of bounds. Said, get that wheat.
Hickson sees a layup. Inside. Didn't have to, but he sees an advantage. Aldridge down the middle, jams.
Hey, we're all here, fired up for another episode of Trailblazers Courtside. Mike Baird, Mike Rice, Brian Wheeler in the house. Wheels, how you doing? You continue to shrink right before our eyes.
Yes.
And you're fresh out of the weight room. Been pressing iron?
It's trying to get involved in the Medina Fitness Challenge. It's a big thing. So
is it like preparing for a marathon or an Ironman?
12-week deal, so it's very, very nice. Very nice.
I know you love to have your picture taken. And they said, now that you're, disappeared out of it.
Yes.
And they said, no. I said, what's more important than taking pictures? He's lifting weights.
No, I see. They said they couldn't get a hold of you. I thought we were going to do something.
Yeah, he's trying
today
to throw
because
you under
you're on the mayoral push right now. So that's kind of one of
Mike Rice for mayor.
Thank you for
your vote.
Those who don't know, Willamette Week, check it out because you're down to the Elite Eight. Is that
Elite Eight? And it
but tough competition.
Vote starts tomorrow with Timothy Hutton.
And for those watching on Comcast Sportsnet, everybody can send us tweets at hashtag TB Courtside, and some people are already noticing the Rice for Mayor sign strategically placed behind us. And are you going to put signs in people's yards and stuff?
Well, it's...
Because that gets results.
I didn't have to against Victoria.
Yeah.
I beat her by about 600 votes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And, but...
Is that a lot in this competition?
Yes.
That's a lot. Okay.
But Timothy Hutton
Hollywood actor, yeah.
But if they've watched him in French Kiss, they may not vote for him because I always thought he's excellent actor.
Yeah, but he's kind of adopted this town. You really have embraced this town. This has been your
he's an outsider
for a long time, right? Yes.
Yeah, he's...
That almost wouldn't be right for him.
He's like the Hollywood, and I'm more Portland,
yes,
Gresham.
No question. No, Gresham. Four-letter Gresham. But I think you do need a better sign maker. There are
budget constraints.
There's not a lot of contributions during
single
this
space, not yeah, same yeah. color. You know.
Yeah, right. Like his tweets. All right, coming up on Trailblazers Courtside, Joel Prisbilla will join us a little later on at 6:30. Chris Monter from Monter Draft News, because we're going to start talking about some NBA draft stuff. Wheels, I was curious. You know, I got in the car last night, as I always do, and I listened to the end of the postgame show. How did you – if there's all these ways to lose games, and we certainly have experienced many of them this year.
Yes.
Last night was maybe one that we hadn't experienced to this point. How'd you guys handle it on radio?
Well, it was certainly a roller coaster game, as you guys know. I mean, you know, the Blazers get off to the great start. Looks like they're just picking up right where they left off from the night before. Then they have the bad second and third quarters. Then they're trailing in the fourth. They put together the great run to go ahead on Wesley's three-pointer. Looks like they're going to, you know, snatch victory again. And then finish the game. And I mean, the frustrating thing about the way it ended, obviously, was that it's one thing to miss a shot. It's one thing to not get a rebound. But, you know, turnovers where it's unforced, basically, that's the tricky part. And the fact that it not only happened once, but it happened twice. And so from that standpoint, it couldn't have been a more frustrating ending than it ended up being. And for a guy that has had trouble, you know, getting accepted pretty much all season long and had been playing better, you know, Raymond Felt, unfortunately for him. And I know and the players and coaches did all the right things by saying that game was not lost on the final couple of possessions. But that's all that a lot of people are going to remember. It's kind of, what have you done for me lately?
It's an NBA game. You do all the things during the games, and sometimes you don't do all the right things to win a game. But, you know, you stay close, and then you have to finish. That's an NBA game.
But that has been the difficulty last, all year.
Yeah, yeah.
4-12 now in games decided by five or less. And, you know, and I got in a discussion of this on my blog a little bit. If you just go 8-8 in those 16, you're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And those games, the last two or three years, you know, and clearly you had Brandon Roy, who was your designated closer. But those close games, that's what Portland feasted on the last few years.
Yeah,
and they had so much success, and now this year, just none.
And it's not, you know, if you miss a shot at the end, and you know, well, we missed the shot. But if you don't even get the shot, we haven't come down to that. It just took the air out of me. I sat there, and I'm never speechless.
No.
And for a team that all season long, for whatever reason, has had a fragile psyche, and the confidence has wavered, I think that the confidence suffers in no greater way than when you can't win a close game. And that's the difference between teams that get to the playoffs. Look at Oklahoma City's overtime record the last two seasons. Clearly, they get into a close game, they get into overtime, they believe they're going to win. I think the Blazers sometimes get into those situations and do not feel they're going to succeed. And as you said, MB found a different way to lose a close game last night than some of the other ones we had seen.
And interesting to hear, you know, as we said, I believe on the broadcast, maybe it was even off the air at the time, that was the season in a nutshell, the way that ended. And then it was interesting to hear Utah's perspective and Brian Smith, our friend who is their beat writer, say that's Utah's season in a nutshell, pulling out games like that, miracle right and left, how'd they win it? And then you look at the two teams together. I certainly don't think Utah's any more talented or better team than Portland is. They simply have had success in those situations. And when you are Portland and you get in those situations, you talk about confidence late in games, you don't have memories to rely on to dictate your execution the next time. What you have is fear.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it feeds upon itself. And then you find yourself in those situations. We're thinking it. The crowd's thinking it. Geez, how are we going to lose this one this time?
I had a suggestion to make Raymond wear size 9 shoes. And then he, you know, wouldn't.
Went off his heel this time, so it wouldn't have mattered. All right, let's take a break. And coming up next, we'll go to Joel Prisbilla. He tried to mix it up last night as he always does, with the Utah Jazz, and even went after Tyrone Corbin. I want to find out what Corbin said to get Joel so upset. So Joel Prisbilla, our guest when we come back on Trailblazers Courtside. Hey, welcome back. Trailblazers courtside here from our Blazers studios at the Rose Garden. Mike Barrett, Mike Rice, Brian Wheeler. And our first guest, a guy who needs no introduction and hasn't been on for a while, but we're thrilled that he's back here in Portland. That's Joel Prisbilla. Joel, how you doing?
Good, man. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. You know, we were just talking about, you know, the difference in close games this team now as opposed to the team last couple of years, and how it, you know, it feeds upon itself when you're either having success late in games or you're struggling late in games. And, you know, everybody knows, and you guys know, you're aware of the record in close games. And, you know, if you guys are getting more of those close games, you're into the playoffs and fighting for a seed in the playoffs and hopefully a higher seed. But for whatever reason, it just, the execution and weird things have happened. There have been some bad calls late. And then last night we saw what happened to Ray a couple of times down the floor. In your mind, what is the difference and why has the team been unable to close in those close game situations they've been in so many times?
Jeez, you're coming up with a tough question, huh?
Yeah, sorry.
You know, I don't know. Honestly, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, last night it was just kind of a bad luck. Ray dribbled one off his foot, and, you know, on the second turnover, he kind of didn't come to the ball. And, you know, it was just kind of bad luck last night. And then when we lost to the Clippers, you know, there was a call that we all thought as a team, we thought Wesley got fouled going to the basket. And, you know, we don't think we've been getting the calls we should have been getting the past few games. And, you know, I think a lot of it, too, is, I mean, when, you know, in the past few years I've been playing, you know, a lot of it, you know, when you got someone like Brandon who's closed a lot of games for us, you know, it's different for LaMarcus because being a post-up, you know, it's tough to get the ball in the situation spot that you want to get it, and you get double-teamed pretty easily in the post. But when Brandon was playing and he could create a shot for himself or create for other guys, it made a big difference. And it's kind of shown when he's not here with the team, it makes a big difference.
You know, last night you had one of the all-time great picks as you knocked somebody almost in the third row.
Burks.
And then, yeah, Alex Burks.
Alec Burks.
And then going down the court, you had a little confrontation. Was it with Tyrone Corbin that you were talking to?
Oh, you saw that?
Yeah. What did he say?
We don't miss anything.
What did he say?
This is a rated PG radio station. There you go, man.
But whatever. He tried to laugh it off, didn't he? Didn't he try to laugh it off after he said it? And you weren't laughing.
Yeah, he just started shaking his head, and I asked him what – I said, what are you shaking your head for? You guys do that. You guys have been doing that stuff to me and my teammates for years. And then he said something, and I said something back. And he had no comment. So.
But you were right.
Part of the game, no big deal.
Yeah. But you're right. That's what Utah lives on. They set illegal picks. They're always moving.
They've been beating up on me and my teammates for years, man. I couldn't understand why he was upset about that. I mean, and first off, people don't realize me and Wesley Matthews were actually talking about that today. The kid, I don't even know the kid's name, who was coming out the screen, who set the screen on, but Wesley was saying he was grabbing him the whole time, pulling on his jersey, and it should have been a foul before the screen even happened. So, I mean, it just goes to show sometimes we, you know, play before the play that we didn't get the call, you know. I mean, it's just stuff like that happens.
Joel, obviously, time's a-wasting in this regular season, and the last two losses have been as tough as any games that, you know, could have been won and could have been really boost for your guys' confidence moving forward and also maybe help you climb the standings a little bit more. I know your interim head coach, Caleb Canales, is so singularly focused that he's just was talking about practice today, and he'll just be talking about the game tomorrow. But do you guys as a group still have some confidence that you can find a way to make a late run here and put enough wins together to be a serious threat to get back into the playoff chase on a serious level?
Oh, definitely. We still believe we definitely have a chance. You know, we just got to get hot. You know, right now, you know, there's only 12 games left. We have to, you know, not pretty much win out, but we got to be pretty close to win out and win the games we need to win. And, you know, we're confident going into every game. We believe in each other, and that's the difference I've noticed with this team ever since the changes that we made is we go into every game believing we're going to win. And, you know, and the thing that I've noticed is as every game we've competed and played hard. I mean, you know, you look at the game last night, the loss versus Utah. I mean, we played as hard as we possibly could, and we just, you know, it was a very physical game. And, you know, they were just a better team last night. We just, you know, today, as Caleb said, we just got to move on and get ready for tomorrow's game and be ready to get a win.
Joel, you've known Caleb for years, and the coaching change happens when we were in Chicago, and Caleb is named the interim, which was a little bit of a surprise, only because, you know, you had others there who were more seasoned, but then it started to make some sense, and seeing how the players reacted to him was great to see, and then get the win in Chicago. But what's it been like seeing Caleb from the time you came here, because I think you guys came here at the same time, to see him climb the ranks from unpaid intern to interim head coach now? What's it been like playing for him? And at the very least, and I've had a couple of scouts tell me this, you guys are playing, he's got the team playing very, very hard for him. So what's he been like as a head coach running his own ship?
You know, first of all, I'm just proud of him. I mean, he, like I said to other people, he's put in more work and time in his organization than anyone I've seen. I mean, he's many nights I've talked to him the next morning at practice, and he slept at the practice facility, and you know, just things like that. And you know, he's always there no matter what time of the day I would come to the gym, you know, in the morning or in the evening, you know, something, bring my kids in or something, he was always there. And you know, the thing about, I'm just proud of him, you know, he deserves everything he's getting, and that's what I told him when he became the interim coach. I told him, we met that night, and I told him, just be the same person you are, Caleb. I said, don't change. I mean, what, the reason you're the coach now is because of what you have done to get to this position. And, you know, the reason we're just playing hard is we just, you know, that's what he asked of us. He asked of us from day one, he said, he asked each and every individual at our first meeting if we were committed to playing hard for not only this organization, but for each other, because that's all he asked for, you know. And, you know, we feel when we go step on the court, we know, we feel like he believes in us, so it makes us believe in him. And it's a two-way street. We're very comfortable playing for him. So it's shown. It's shown out there.
If asked, would you endorse him for a, you know, to be at least a candidate for the permanent job?
Oh, definitely. I'm definitely comfortable playing for him, and I know a lot of guys are. You know, I just think, you know, the biggest thing is for me is he's just, you know, he's learning as himself. This is his first head coaching job, and for me it was, you know, the progress he's made in just a few weeks from day one to now has been so significant. You know, he's more confident being in front of the guys, you know, talking to referees, you know, whatever it may be. He's made such strides in these few weeks. I'm so proud of him, and I'm, you know, I'm excited for the future for him, because he's got great potential to be a great coach for many, many years.
You've been around, you know, quite a few years, and I looked at Monty Williams today, a quote that he made. He was talking about Carl Landry, who's hurt a lot this year. He said, on players sitting out, if you have guys who think these games don't mean anything, these are not the guys we want moving forward. This is the time of year where you find out who is playing for the right reasons and who isn't playing for the right reasons. You've probably seen, is there a tendency with teams that aren't winning at the end to kind of cash it in the NBA?
I think so. You know, I really think so. You see it. You know, and the thing is, with the teams I've played on, you know, the teams that I've played on that haven't made the playoffs, especially, you know, in Portland, you know, that's the thing. You know, playing for Nate, we never, you know, the first few years playing for Nate, we never cashed in. I mean, we went out there and gave it everything we had. You know, at least I did. You know, and that's the thing. I'm the type of guy, I'm out there playing, I want to win. I don't care if it's it. Last game of the season, you know. You know, because you're always preparing for the next year or preparing for whatever may happen. And when you're not going out there giving it your best, you're not only cheating yourself, but I think you're cheating the fans, because they respect it when you go out there and give it everything you got, because that's all you can give. You know, you may be a little banged up and, you know, you're not playing your best basketball, but you, as long as you're going out there playing and giving it your all, I mean, that's, a lot of people respect that.
Speaking of playing, you missed the Minnesota game with a sprained knee, but for the most part have looked terrific for a guy who didn't even have a training camp. And you've said that if you feel good, you'd like to continue playing next season. Have you made any decisions about that? And have you and the team had any discussions about you doing that playing? If so, right back here in Portland again.
You know, I've thought about it, you know, actually the past couple weeks more than I had initially thought, but you know, as long as I feel the way I am now, I think I'm gonna play again. I definitely, you know, now I'm getting older, and you know, my oldest son really likes being around it. It's a pleasure for me bringing him to practice and having him to games and letting him enjoy it a little bit. And you know, for me, it's, you know, depending, I just want to see, get through this season and you know, enjoy the summer and see what my options are. You know, I would definitely love to come back, and you know, that's up to the team and my situation is, you know, I kind of want to see what's out there, you know. You know, a lot of it also, like I said in the past, is my family, you know. A lot of it depends on what they want, you know, and I definitely do what my wife and kids say, because that's deep down, that's what really matters to me is them. And, you know, if they want me to play or not play, or where they want me to play, is going to depend. It's going to be a family decision.
You made the comment to me recently that this is the most fun you've had in your career is since you've come back. Is that maybe because you have perspective now, or is that just because you're back out there mixing it up, doing what you love to do?
I think it's both. You know, being back out to being away from it, you know, not being back to, you know, where I'm healthy again, where I want to be, you know, and not playing the way I wanted to play for a couple of years because of injuries and, you know, and being away from it and realizing how much you miss when you're gone away from it, actually. And the fact is just, and not only that, but being back and, you know, my son's six now and he really enjoys it and having him around and we talk basketball, it makes it fun, man. And it's, you know, playing for Caleb, honestly, makes it, I'm telling you, playing for him is a joy, man. I mean, I have the utmost respect for him. He makes it enjoyable to come to work every day. And the group of guys in the locker room make it very enjoyable. And, you know, like I said, we're giving it everything we got to try to make the playoffs, you know. And it's showing out there. I mean, granted, we've lost some tough games, but, you know, I'm just happy with the guys, the way they've responded to all these changes. And, you know, we're going to try and make a push here for into the playoffs.
Before we let you go, I know you and Anthony also talk wrestling. Did you watch WrestleMania yet?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you think?
Yeah, I don't know if you didn't watch it.
I did.
You
haven't
watched it.
I did. I watched it last night.
I'm not going to tell you that.
No,
it was good.
No, I watched it. I did watch it.
Did you
think?
Watch it?
Yeah. Did you like Rock Cena?
Yeah, you know what? It honestly wasn't. The match I really enjoyed was Triple H and Undertaker.
Yeah.
That was the match.
Yeah, that was more intense. I agree. I was a little disappointed in Rock Cena. I was a little disappointed.
Yeah, it wasn't. You could tell The Rock was a little rusty. You know, it wasn't really technically. You know, as I become a more of an expert of wrestling, I kind of watch the little things in wrestling. You know,
the subtleties,
kind of,
yes.
You know, they were. Yeah, you know, their match wasn't the best. You know, they were kind of. You know
what?
You know how it is, Wheels. You're a big wrestling expert too. So, yeah.
What player?
It was great, man. I honestly, if I wasn't going to play this year, I was planning on going down to Miami to go.
Sure.
Go to WrestleMania.
And you saw who came back last night, right? You saw who came back.
Yeah, Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar.
Yeah,
back. Lesnar. Yeah. So.
What player in the NBA? What player in the NBA gets you riled up enough that you want to put a Brock Lesnar on them?
No player, all the referees, honestly. I'm not worried about that.
That would be a mismatch.
Hey, Joel,
yeah,
thanks.
No players, referees. Man.
Hey, thanks for the time. Thanks, we appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Joel.
All right, Joel Prisbilla, our guest here on Trailblazers Courtside. Quick break and right back after this on Trailblazers Courtside. Well, for those of you watching on Comcast SportsNet, a live shot of Portland. The sun is out, at least for the time being, it looks like.
Staying lighter longer.
Some broken clouds. Sure is. I know we get out of Trailblazers courtside, and that's always kind of the indicator. When it's light out, it's kind of nice to have a little daylight drive home. Thanks to Joel Prisbilla for joining us. Always a great guest, and he's gotten as he's gotten older, you know, he wasn't always a terrific interview. He was always a good interview, but now he's a very good interview.
No filter. He just says what he thinks.
Well, and
he's always been that way.
Absolutely. And strong comments about endorsing Caleb for and I haven't heard, maybe because the questions haven't really been asked that much, of players, and maybe, but I know Joel's, there's a lot of respect that goes with his opinion on stuff.
Yeah.
So interesting to hear him so strongly recommend and endorse Caleb for possibly getting the permanent job.
I think there was just an assumption that when Caleb got the job, and then you put interim in front of the title, that, you know, it's just something till the end of the season, and maybe that was the initial thought, who knows, but he's doing such a good job, and he's restored a lot of the Blazer pride and competitive spirit that, you know, depending on how things end, I can't see how that he wouldn't be considered.
I think if this team would have won some close games, the way they're playing exciting basketball, hard basketball, but at the end of the day, you look at the sheet and you look at wins and losses, a playoff appearance really would have helped him because the team is, you know, they look like they're coached.
Especially after the trades where you kind of say, okay, we're going to start building for next year. And then if he could have gotten the team into the playoffs despite that, which, you know, you get the if you get the Clipper game at the end and you get the Utah game at the end, you're all of a sudden back in that discussion. Not that it's dead now, but that really would have helped him, I agree.
And that question I gave Joel about players cashing it in, they have 12 games now to find out, you know, can Caleb keep them motivated enough to be competitive in this next 12
games? Because I would say the question that, that we all get asked the most is, when will the young guys play more? When will the, you know, when will the team cash in the season? And I really believe that until mathematically, if it happens that there's no chance to make the playoffs, I think every game is going to be approached as an attempt to win.
All right, NBA Draft is coming now that the NCAA tournament is over. Now we can start talking NBA Draft stuff. We do that next with Chris Monter of Monter Draft News. Stay with us. Trailblazers courtside on trailblazers.com, Comcast Sportsnet, and the Blazers Radio Network. Trailblazers courtside. Portland falling last night to Utah. Tomorrow night taking on the New Jersey Nets. The return of Gerald Wallace and New Jersey playing well and looking at their roster. No reason why they shouldn't be. And sometimes you look at teams like that, you look at the talent that they have, and it's kind of you start wondering why they haven't won more than they have. But time to talk a little college hoops. And for that, we go to Chris Monter with Monter Draft News. And, of course, this is the great time of the year for guys like Chris. You can check him out on his Twitter at College BB News or MonterDraftNews.com. Chris, welcome back to the program. We appreciate your time.
Great to talk to you. Great time of the year for NBA draft people. You got the chance to see a lot of those players play in the tournament, including several Kentucky players and then maybe a Kansas player or two that will be focused on in the June draft.
We've heard about the draft being so strong. Is it, in your opinion, one of the better drafts in the last few years? Or, I mean, you've heard some people, you know, kind of the cynical side of things saying it isn't as good as some have expected. How do you rate the overall draft where we sit now?
Well, I'm kind of in between. I think it's going to be actually a very deep draft because you'll have a lot of players coming out early. We've already seen a pretty long list, and I think there'll be even more here this week, especially now that the NCAA tournament is finally done. The question is, if you're a lottery team, though, are there many players that are going to dramatically improve your team? Is there a, you know, LeBron James, a Dwight Howard, you know, Blake Griffin, a total impact type player? I don't think there are that many of those. So I think it's a good draft in terms of number of top players. But I think it's going to be a pretty deep draft because we saw several players like Jared Sullinger from Ohio State, Perry Jones from Baylor, Terrence Jones from Kentucky, Harrison Barnes from North Carolina. Those players normally might have came out last year when they were freshmen, all had good freshman years, but decided to stay in because of the NBA lockout. Those players will come out this year, and we've already seen several freshmen come out, and including a couple players from Kentucky who will likely follow suit. So I think it'll be a pretty deep draft, but I'm not convinced there's that many players that are going to dramatically change the team single-handedly.
How do you look at, you know, you get a senior like Tyler Zeller or Jeff Taylor. They're both 22 years old. Andre Drummond's 18. Austin Rivers, 19. Is there a mark against guys that stay in school that are a little older? Do you wonder why didn't they come out? So do you shy away from drafting older guys?
See, I kind of look at it a little bit the other way. I know everybody gets so enamored with the young guys, but I look at it as a player who is a senior who's played maybe 130, 140 games. As a college player, is maybe more ready to step in. They maybe don't have the upside, and that's what we get so enamored with and so fascinated. But I think sometimes we see a lot of times those seniors are more ready to jump into the NBA. They're used to, you know, playing at a high level and have done so, you know, for several years and are maybe a little bit more mature physically as well as emotionally. So you're right. We're going to get excited about those 18, 19-year-olds, which is what they could be, but sometimes we shortchange the seniors who are maybe more ready to play in the NBA.
My son coached at Rutgers, and he played against Andre Drummond.
He does coach at Rutgers.
Yeah, he still does.
You acted like it sounded like he got fired.
No, the head coach. Now, you know, I was asking him about the draft today, about the players that he has played against, and he says he had a 6'4" guy checking Drummond. He said Drummond is a freak athlete that can run. If you put him in the gym with workouts by himself, I mean, he's the best ever. But as soon as he has to perform some post moves, he said he has no post moves, and yet I see him on all the lists at second, third, or fourth. Do you look at the development or the potential? Where does Andy, because he shocked me when he told me that, you know, he just doesn't have any offensive moves for the way he is such a freak athlete. How do you judge guys?
Yeah, he's a player who's got a lot of ability. I got a chance to see him play a lot this summer out in Vegas and some of the AAU tournaments, because he was actually going to be a player who was going to go to school one more year before going to college, but because he went to a postgraduate school, was actually able to join Kentucky or Connecticut for this year. The player I kind of reminds me a lot of is Amari Stoudemire. You know, as you mentioned, very athletic kid, runs the floor extremely well, really shined out in Vegas, where I thought he was maybe the best big man and maybe even the best player out there. But you're right, still has a way to go offensively, needs to develop those low post moves, you know, a skilled player. But again, you know, you maybe get him with a good NBA big man coach, you know, like Patrick Ewing or Jack Sikma's done tons of good work, I think, with Pekovic and Kevin Love this year with Minnesota. So I think he's a player who people are going to take a chance on because he is so athletic. But you're right, he has ways to go skill-wise before he's ready to make a big impact in the NBA.
Chris, the Blazers potentially could have two lottery picks in the first round, will have two picks in the second round as things stand right now. Primary needs, point guard and center. Do you see the draft being deep in those areas that the Blazers, with their picks, could potentially address those issues with the selections that they have, at least right now?
Well, unfortunately, much like most drafts, to be honest, point guard and centers are, I think, are always the hardest areas to fill, just because there aren't a lot of great big men. You know, every big man now, it seems like 6'10", 6'11", they want to play on the wing. They want to shoot threes, so there aren't that many true centers. You look even in the NBA, you know, you have Dwight Howard and you have a few others, but there aren't a lot of quality big men. And point guards is another area. You have some great players. You know, Kyrie Irving was the number one pick last year. You have, you know, some great young players like Chris Paul and other great players in that spot. But I think that's one of the areas that's kind of weak in this draft. I think maybe Kendall Marshall is a player who will go in the later part of the lottery, really knows how to run a team. He's not a great offensive player right now, needs to improve his outside shot to keep teams honest, but really knows how to distribute the ball. But you're right, those are probably, unfortunately for Blazer fans who are, as you mentioned, maybe looking for help with those two spots, those are maybe the two weakest areas in this draft.
Do you have Michael Kidd-Gilchrist as high as many people do? Because most, you look at a lot of the mocks, Anthony Davis is the clear number one, but do you like Kidd-Gilchrist as much as other people do, and do you have him going number two?
Well, I think, again, you look at him as a player, a very skilled, athletic player, knows how to win. He was a winner in college as well, in high school as well, and had a very good freshman season for Kentucky. I mean, if he is the number two pick, I think he's a good player, but I don't know if he's a player who's going to step in immediately, and that's what scares me about this draft, because you're hearing him maybe as the number two pick, Thomas Robinson, who had a good game rebounding-wise, but was 6-17 and kind of struggled against Ohio State and Kentucky, getting his shot off against their big man, let alone when he has to go to the NBA and play against even bigger players. So, again, I think that's maybe an example of why I think this is a good draft, a lot of depth, but maybe aren't that many dramatic players, especially early, that are going to turn a team around single-handedly. So I think he's, you know, and if you saw, they had an HBO special on his high school team and he came across as a really good kid in my dealings with him, I would agree with that. So I think he's a player who can adjust to the NBA but still has some work to go skill-wise. Again, I think another question I have a little bit with him is position-wise. He's going to have to show, he's a little bit undersized in the power forward, going to have to show a little bit more of that perimeter game, continue to work on his ball handling. He showed some signs last night, even, you know, being able to hit the college three, but can he expand his range to hit the NBA three?
I asked my son about power forwards, and I said, I gave him two names, Thomas Robinson of Kansas and Harrison Barnes, a small forward out of North Carolina. He said one is strong and I'd take him in a heartbeat. The other is soft and I'd stay, he's an iffy pick and I'd stay away from him. So who do you think, which is which?
Well, I would say Robinson is the positive one, and Barnes maybe would be the negative one in my eyes.
You got it. All right.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the one thing. Like, I, to be honest, don't do a mock draft until all the players declare. I think, unfortunately for Harrison, even before he stepped on the college court, people were projecting him as the number one pick last year, and he was a preseason AP freshman All-American. He was the first freshman ever to be a preseason AP All-American selection. So I think unfortunately, he got so much hype early on and went to a program where North Carolina, where they have so many good players, maybe hasn't had a chance to showcase all his skills. But I think, unfortunately, he got a little too much hype early. Again, the knock I have on Robinson just a little bit, you know, he really emerged the last 2 years. He's been primarily a backup for the Morris twins, who were both lottery picks last year. But at times you saw him struggle against bigger players. He really struggled getting his shot off inside, you know, missed a lot of easy opportunities. That's really what I thought was the big difference last night when they couldn't convert on those opportunities because of, you know, Anthony Davis' shot blocking ability and his ability to alter shots inside.
So, Chris, obviously we'll have you on as a few times, I'm sure, as we get closer to the draft. And as you say, when we know a little bit more about all the guys that are going to declare. But from what you're indicating, if you were advising the Blazers, if they are going to have these picks, would you say that they might be well served to entertain the thought of trading the picks and maybe getting some players that are already a little more seasoned, maybe still young and ready to emerge as big-time players in the NBA, but at least have shown the greater potential already to do that? Or would you just say keep the picks that they have and just make sure that everybody understands that maybe there aren't going to be any instant results with some of these guys that could be available even at high selections in this upcoming draft?
Well, you're right. If you want an impact player, if you don't have the number one pick in this draft, you're probably not going to get it. So maybe you'd want to make a move, especially if you're a team that maybe is just one player away. But I always am surprised how little NBA teams value the draft. I think you look in the NBA draft, you have lots of players who are second-round picks. Ginobili, Michael Redd, you just go down the list, Carlos Boozer, Gilbert Arenas. You've had some great second-round picks and even undrafted players. Brad Miller was an NBA All-Star center. Was undrafted. Ben Wallace led the league in rebounding and shot blocks many times, was undrafted. So I'm always surprised when teams basically trade or just, you know, sell a draft pick. So I maybe look at it differently. You're not always going to find great players in the second round, but they do exist. So I'm always critical of teams getting rid of picks. And I just look at it as that player is going to make very little when you have, you know, a 15-man roster. Why not have some young guys who maybe need some time to learn, we'll get some experience maybe sitting on the bench and learning from some veteran-type players. So I'm always critical of teams basically giving up on picks. But you're right, this is one draft where maybe if you feel that you're one player away, maybe you make a move and trade a pick to get maybe more of a veteran-type player. So I kind of look at it a little bit both ways. But, again, I think this is a good enough draft where you get some decent talent in that second round. And to be honest, I think there'll be a decent number of undrafted players who end up making the league next year.
Chris, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. We'll get you back on soon.
I look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
All right, Chris Montra at MontraDraftNews.com. You can follow him at Twitter, at CollegeBBNews. We'll take a break here on Trailblazers Courtside and come back right after this. This fine program, the producer is Adam Willis, the director Phil Beard, Greg St. Martin on video, John McConnell graphics, Corey Griffin. No, it's not. It's Charles Chavany, isn't it? I saw the chuck wagon back there. Okay, Charles is in audio. Buck and Curry, let's see, cameras. Well, let's first do the captain's cam because we haven't gotten to Rich tonight. Hey, there he is.
Yes.
Cap, there you go. There's Rich Patterson. For those of you watching on Comcast Sportsnet. Bruce Williams, the engineer. No, camera one is Buck, two is Curry, and who's on show us who's doing camera three. I don't recognize this guy. You guys say, oh, there, look at him. Hey, he doesn't want the camera. Look at him. He's angry.
I had been wondering what happened to him.
Well, he's not in the union, so I don't think he wants anybody to see
the
him.
Return of Merlin. Look at him. He was putting a curse on Curry there, so I don't know.
Never understood why you guys couldn't get along. I mean, you get along with everybody. Why can't you get along with him?
The guy wants to hog the limelight.
I think he wants to run for mayor.
Look at
him.
Yeah.
Just do your job, Merlin. All right.
Wow. That's good to see him, though.
Yeah, I know.
I had not seen him in a long time. He hasn't changed.
He was...
he's in Alcatraz.
Unpaid suspension.
He was exiled.
Exiled? Yeah. Well, understandably so.
Well, his way back.
We were talking during the break. And sometimes we talk about things we can't talk about during the break. But we were talking about Deron Williams because he's in town tomorrow night with the New Jersey Nets. And people have asked the question tonight, and he seems to be the one guy that fans have locked onto as the guy they'd like Portland to go out and grab in the offseason. There are those who say, no way. You'll never get a guy like Deron Williams to be interested. But then there are others who have said, and some close to Deron Williams and people I've talked to who've talked to those people, who say, yeah, he is. He is interested. He would listen. It is a place that he could see himself coming. It's not a good situation where he's at. He's been in the Western Conference. He's been in the Northwest Division. It would be a possibility. Mike Rice, what do you think? What are the chances? If the situation is right, let's just say this. If Portland does what some people think they might do, if they package their two high picks and they get one big-time guy by doing that, then you take that and you look at a guy like Deron Williams and say, look, you got L.A., you got Batum, you got Matthews, you got guys like Babbitt who are coming back, Nolan Smith. You know, that's about it, really, as far as guys under contract. And then look at the guy we got with this trade. Now you come here and be the future point guard for years to come. Do you think it's a possibility? Because they'll have the money to do it.
Yeah, and I think if you approach it the right way, that this can be done. Like Dallas already is tweeting him and making him feel like we want you. And the Blazers could start that same tweet.
And you don't know
right
if they haven't.
Right now right we now. Could have, you know, we'll find out his handle and go from there. Because you look at the draft, you have the guy from Weber State, the guy from North Carolina, Lillard and Marshall. Murray State has an excellent point guard, but he's more of a scorer, but he's real good. But those are where you pick at 15, 15, 16.
But that's
16.
Through the draft.
That
too.
Draft, right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Not an immediate answer.
That's not an answer. That's not an answer for this team. The answer is take the picks, do what you have to do with another piece, and go out and really, you know, present the offer and get a –
So is it realistic to dream like that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
In the NBA. If you have the money and the pieces and the draft picks, it's realistic.
And we know Jamal Crawford said that Blazer fans had a lot to do with his decision to come here with their effort at tweeting and so forth. So we know Blazer fans can make an impact. I've heard from too many that say it can't be done. Well, there's no reason why it can't be done. It's just that the Blazers have not had the opportunity by having the resources and capital available to go out and compete for a big-name free agent. But here's somebody who quietly is telling people that, you know, he's interested. So we ought to jump on that. And if you come into the game tomorrow, bring some signs, you know, support the Blazers to win the game. But bring some signs. Deron Williams, this is where we'd love to see you next season.
We're going
to
start tweeting next week.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. And I think wrap up this edition of Trailblazers Courtside after this. And welcome back. We already have some tweets into hashtag pound sign. Why all of a sudden is it a hashtag? I don't understand. But anyway, hashtag TB Courtside. Is it at Deron Williams? One word? Because that's what somebody has wrote to us, that his address. And this what person says, you'd love it in Rip City. You need to sign with us this summer. People are signing. And I don't know if that's his or not. But I wouldn't be surprised.
We'll find out.
Yeah, find out. Believe me, we'll get this going. That we have to show love. And as announcers, we'll show love tomorrow night before the ball game. We'll get a little
try not to rip him as much as you normally do during the game.
Yeah, yeah. Cause
we never ripped Deron Williams, though. I don't think.
Other guys. Hard to rip. He's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
And even though for him this season's been, you know, not as great as it's been in past seasons, but, you know, again, I'm not sure his heart is in what's going on in New Jersey. But clearly he's going to have some options, and little things like being really wanted might make a difference. And tomorrow is the Blazers' opportunity. Fans and, you know,
they play tonight, the Lakers.
Yes. Yeah, they do.
So I'm going to go home.
All right. How does dumb question probably, or one that it takes longer than 1 minute. How does Ray Felton handle tomorrow night? Because he's going to get beaten up.
That's tough because he seems to be a guy that nothing affects him. You know,
he says
what
that.
He says.
Yeah, he says that. So it's going to be difficult. Because I'm going to hold back. I'm not going to.
Well, I didn't expect you were going to do it. I didn't think you'd be the issue. Although maybe, I don't know.
I would just encourage Blazer fans, you know, again, be supportive. I mean, you still want the team to win. And again, if you got a little extra time to make a sign for Deron Williams, because that's not a bad idea either.
And a sign for Mike Rice for mayor. That
absolutely.
Wouldn't hurt either.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yes, I'm doing what I can. He's Mike Rice. He approved this message.
That's right. There's a chicken in every pot.
All right, tomorrow night, Trailblazers and the New Jersey Nets. They'll have it on radio. Pregame at 6:05. We'll have it right here on Comcast Sportsnet pregame show at 6:30. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you soon.